16th of October, is that what the date is? Praise the Lord. If you grab a Bible, open it up to the revelation of Jesus Christ. I was going to say I want to preach the whole book today, but I don't think that's even possible, so I won't make that claim. But I love this book again. Normally when we come up to the hunt for the last October Bible Prophecy Conference, I start reading this book once a week in September, and then through October I try to again read it a couple times a week, and we'll find out why here as we look at its opening again. Tremendous book. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so as we take up that theme, looking again at this little book, I want to go through an outline. There's an outline, hopefully in your lap again, that has the revelation of Jesus Christ, the part we want to focus on today. I dug out this morning. In fact, last night I was digging around while we're watching a little bit of football and figuring out that, hey, someplace I know, I wrote it in one of my lectures, that there's the Revelation's seven books, and so I could not come up with them off the top of my head, and got up at 4 o'clock in the morning and said, I got to find them books. And so there are seven books, again, in the Revelation. The Revelation is a book of sevens, is what started me down that vein. And the seven books mentioned, of course, is Jesus told John to write this in a book. There's one book. And then, again, there's mentioned that you got to have your name written in the Book of Life, praise the Lord. That's an important book. And then in Revelation, I think it was chapter 6, I found the other one I couldn't find. And that's because it's called a scroll, same Greek word for book, but it's called a scroll, where the heavens open up as a scroll. And so that book I like to mention. And then, of course, that the books are open in Revelation chapter 21. And finally, there is the little book. Oh, I skipped over the little book there, I think, in Revelation chapter 11, where he's told to eat the little book. And then the last, again, is the don't ignore the prophecy of this book. About four times it's mentioned in the close of the book. So there's seven books references. This is a seven of sevens here that we're going to look at today. Seven lists of seven things. And so as we look at that, it's a tremendous book. And seven is a number of completion, if you've ever heard that. Again, in 7 days, God created the world, and he was completed on the seventh day. Actually, he created a six-day creation, and on the seventh day, he rested. What did he create in that first 6 days of creation? He created the universe. And the universe is everything we can see or imagine here. And it goes out so far that we couldn't imagine how far it goes out. Even our guesstimates are bad, again, about how big this universe is. In fact, the evolutionist says it's infinite. Albert Einstein said, no, it's not infinite. It's got to be bounded. And so there is a bounding of the universe that makes mathematical sense for any mathematical geniuses. Like Albert Einstein. And so, notice again that everything that is created, God created it. The Lord Jesus Christ created it. Let me pause and throw this in for free, that Satan was a created creature. He was Lucifer. He was created. And everything in the universe was created in 6 days. It says that about five times in my Bible. If that's the case, when was Lucifer created? He was created during the 6 days of creation. Because everything that was created in the 6 days of creation. So there's a lot of Baptists running around thinking there's a gap in your Revelation or Genesis account. And that the world is really millions of years old. No, Bible says the world has got 4,000 years of B.C. So far we've got 2,000 years of A.D. Let's see, add that up. That's 6,000 years. The number of completion is seven. And so I'm looking for a completion of this whole thing in 7,000 years. We know that there's a 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. And so we're hitting the point, again, where we're almost 2,000 years exactly after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That'll happen in 2023. So I'm thinking the Lord's going to be here in 2023. You can quote me on that if you want. I thought that for 2021. I think that for 2022. But we're running out of that pretty fast. But I think he's going to be back in 2023. So let's look at some things about the revelation of Jesus Christ. And as we do that, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Let's look at its opening here. What a tremendous introduction of the book. And let me just give you the preface to the introduction here in Revelation chapter 1. We'll read the first couple verses. And the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. God gave unto Jesus Christ. Which God gave unto him to show unto his servants. That's the servants of Jesus Christ. Things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel. That isn't necessarily a winged creature. Here it's a messenger. By his angel unto his servant John. Verse 2. Who bare record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Verse 3 says this, blessed is he that readeth. I think it was Mark Twain who said there's nothing sadder in the world than a person who can read, but don't. And so here's a challenge for us to read this book. And if you have trouble reading it, you can lean on Alexander Scorby. I suppose here in this same verse it says this: blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Father, praise you for your word. Thank you for the promise of its blessing right here that we just read. And we'd ask again that you'd fulfill that, even in our time here together. Thank you for believers that gather together on the first day of the week to worship, to lift up your name, to edify one another, to encourage. Pray, Father, that we would be strengthened and encouraged in this worship service. Touch each one that come out. Pray your blessing on our time together and your blessing on your word, just like you promised. We'll give you all the praise. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen, amen. You may be seated. I don't want to, again, spend a lot of time on the introductory material here, because it does go on for about three chapters. But notice at least verse 19 of this first chapter, where John is commanded, when he first sees the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Christ, and he says, verse 19, write the things which thou hast seen. John, we know, wrote the things which he saw. In fact, his one gospel, I think it's John, 1 John chapter 1, he says, the things which we have seen, which our hands have handled, which we have beheld again. And he writes the things which he has seen. John, from the Isle of Patmos, after this commandment, wrote the Gospel of John, and he wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And so those are the things that he had seen. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are. The next two chapters here in Revelation cover the messages to the churches. We've preached through them several times. Seven messages to seven churches. And as we follow them through, they are a history of the church unfolding. And so we can see the persecutions arise and the persecutions fall. We can see the Laodicean church age that we understand that we live in today, where there's a great falling away and a great blindness in the church itself. And so notice here again that those are the things which he was commanded to write, things which thou hast seen and the things which are. And then finally in this verse, and the things which shall be hereafter. And so those are the things we're going to look at right now, is the things that shall be hereafter. And so for the next few minutes, I want to take you on a journey through the revelation of Jesus Christ, looking at the things that shall be hereafter. We know, and we've already looked at, the upcoming rapture of the church. It is imminent. The next tick on God's time clock is going to be the rapture of the church. He's not waiting for any red heifer. He's not waiting for any temple to be set up. He's not waiting for anything. He is waiting in heaven for his Father to say, go and take your bride. There will be a trumpet sound and we'll be caught up to meet him in the air. The dead shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up into heaven. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. The events we're going to look at that unfold here upon the earth are going to happen again while we are in heaven. First off, going through the Bema Seat Judgment, as it's called, where we're judged for our works. It's not a sin judgment. It is a judgment for whether we had the right motives in working for our Savior. And so again, there's going to be those that suffer loss. And it's right out of 1 Corinthians. And that's why we call it a Bema Seat Judgment, because that's what they did during the Olympics to make sure that the race was run fairly. For an Olympic race, and that was called the Bema Seat. And so we call this the Bema Seat Judgment for that reason. And so that's going to happen in heaven. And we talked about that a little bit Wednesday night, about how long that would take. It might take that long again. But again, understand that that's going to happen for us. And that's kind of where the chaste virgin, as we're called now, has the wrinkles taken out of her garment, I guess you could say, her wedding gown. And then she becomes the bride of Christ and is led off to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And so at that time, we're going to be the bride of Christ. And then again, we're going to come from the wedding. And we're going to come with him in Revelation chapter 19. In the meantime, down here on this earth, I want us to look at some things that's going to happen. If you look at your chart again that we handed out, you'll notice again that the seven sealed book is going to be open. That seven sealed book shows up in chapter 4 and chapter 5, where again, the Lamb is worthy to open the book. So if you picture a book, the other chart we handed out has a picture of the seven seals stuck on the side of a book. If you've got an Oxford Press, I put a leather cover on mine so I can't see it. But if you've got an Oxford Press Bible, there'll be seven bands on the back of your Bible again, and that's to commemorate the seven sealed book. And so notice here again that that's the seals, and the book can't be opened until the seals are removed. And so that's the first seven there, the seven seals of the book in Revelation chapter 4. And notice again, as the seals start opening in chapter 6. So let's look at them real quickly, the opening of the seven seals on the book. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts said, saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse. Jesus is going to come riding on a white horse. I'm going to lose my voice before I'm done here. But notice again that everything Jesus does, Satan does. Satan is a mimic of God. In fact, he wants to be like the Most High God. And so everything, including the Trinity that God has, Satan has tried to mimic here in this world. And we find it here in the opening of the seven seals. Remember, this, it's a preparatory to opening the book. And so these things are happening preparatory to God's judgment falling out in a seven-year tribulation period. And the first is a white horse, which sounds good, okay? And he that sat on him had a bow and a crown and was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. So there's going to be a world conqueror that rises up and brings peace to the whole world. And I don't think it's going to be Biden, okay? I think he's a little bit too senile right now to bring peace to America again. And not that that's his intent by any means. But again, understand that there's going to be a world ruler that rises up to bring peace to the earth. Verse 4, and there went out another horse that was red. Oh, I'm sorry, verse 3. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out a second horse that was red. Powers given him to that sat thereon to take peace from the earth. So how long's that last? I don't know. It could be a day, could be a week, could be a year. But notice again that this first half occurs in a 3.5-year period. So there's a victor that rises up and brings peace to the earth. And he's in the United Nations, I presume, and heralded all over the earth as the peace bringer. But it don't last very long, and pretty soon there's power given unto this red horse, him that sat thereon, to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And when they had opened the third seal, so notice again here, the first comes death. Again, with that world victor, the next is going to be the people breaking out in war all over the world, and that peace does not last long. When he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see, thou hurt not the oil and the wine." And so notice again here, there's going to be a complete failure of the economy. There are, again, some Notice again the oil and the wine. There are some of the elitists that are doing very well, as near as we can tell. And so again, even though there's a famine here in the earth and destruction and starvation among the masses, there is an elitist group that again has the oil and wine still. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and seal, and look, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him." And so we see this kingdom set up, this world kingdom, and that's what we're going for now. That's what, again, the progressives want and are setting up. As they do that, you'll notice again that it's doomed for failure. And we can see that right now, that it's doomed for failure. All the racial tension, everything they're trying to do to overthrow our government, to get rid of capitalism and install socialism, you can tell again that it's going to bring war and destruction, and it will again be a total failure, and there will not. But that's just going to be a picture, a foretaste again of what this is. While we're here, we will not see these seals open. We will not see these things unfold until after the church has been removed. And so we'll see a foretaste of them. We'll see a foreshadowing of them. We'll see enough to know that, hey, these things are actually going to happen. And we'll see a people following after false leadership in a way that, for crying out loud, some of them are still wearing masks, thinking that's going to save them from something again. And so again, to understand that people are going to be sheep and they're going to follow the government and the leadership into a world, a new world order, as it were. But man, that's pretty clear right now. It's clearer now than it's ever been again. And everyone's getting a little shot in their arm, and it's changing their DNA, and they're following after. I can't believe they're still promoting that. And everyone's insisting that killing babies is a right, and it's on TV, and it's advertised. Every night I see about 5 ads that it's necessary to kill babies, and we got to get rid of these Republicans and any Christian, again, that would think it's wrong. And so, again, we live in interesting times here to understand that these things are going to be fulfilled. Look at your chart, and I don't have time to take all the necessary time to look at the next two, but the martyrdom of the saints. Look at that, at least in verse 9. I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" And so even in all this death, there's going to be a great martyrdom of Christians, of saints. They're going to be the outlaws. They're going to, again, be destroyed. And so, again, that's the fifth trumpet. The sixth trumpet is in verse 12. "And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind." And so we're up to the sixth seal. It's just before the book is about to be opened. And again, as we hit that point, there's signs in the heaven and there's signs in the earth, even as we've been forewarned. And then we have, again, a parenthesis. If you look on your chart, you notice it's 144,000 sealed in chapter 7. And so chapter 7 deals with that. We don't have time to look at that, but again, that's 144,000 of the witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ that go to all nations of the world and preach the gospel. I heard Jew once say to an evangelist, Isn't it amazing that what you Christians couldn't get done in 2,000 years, us Jews are going to get done in a mere 3.5 years again? And so curious that there's the assignment. Another proof that the church is not going to be here, because we're not going to be competing with this 144,000 virgin male men who are preachers of the gospel. And so there's not two sources of truth here. The church has been removed. And these are the witnesses that preach the gospel here during the tribulation period. Chapter 8, verse 1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for a space of a half an hour. I want you to realize how somber it is here. When they opened that seventh seal, we're ready to open the book of judgment. The title deed of this earth is about to be opened and revealed that this earth belongs not to Satan. This earth belongs not to any United Nations. This earth belongs not to any kingdom that can rule this earth. This earth belongs to the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, and he is the one who's coming to take claim of that deed when this book is opened. And I saw the seven angels, verse 2 of chapter 8, which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And so notice again, these seven angels are seven messengers. They're given seven trumpets. A trumpet, again, being a sign of the voice of God, a symbol of the voice of God, of the word of God. And here we're going to find in seven trumpets that God gives a warning, another warning, about what is about to unfold here. And so we see seven times these trumpets sound, and they give, again, a parallel of what's going to come when God pours out his wrath, when he comes to take the kingdom and destroy this old world. And so notice again that seven of them, as they're listed there, there's hail and fire and blood. That's supposed to be verse 7, by the way, in your bulletin, not 17. And I got to follow down through here. And the angel, the first angel sounded, 8:7. And the second angel sounded, verse 8. And the third angel sounded, verse 10. And the fourth angel sounded, verse 12. Again, so you got to write them in your bulletin. And I didn't get them in on this version of that chart. So we've noticed again that first is a hail of fire and blood. Now, I want to do two things here. I want you to jump down and look at the seven vials of the wrath of God. See them just below there, starting in chapter 16. And chapter 16, again, gives the grievous sores as the first vial of the wrath of God that's poured out upon this earth. And notice again that the first trumpet warns of hail, fire, and the blood. The second one is one third of the sea. The trumpet sounds, and one third of the sea is turned to the blood. The second wrath of God is all the sea is turned to blood. The third trumpet sounds, and one third of the rivers are turned to blood. The third vial of the wrath of God is all the rivers of this earth are turned to blood. The third fourth seal sound or trumpet sounds, and there's one third of the sun is smitten. When the fourth vial of the wrath of God is poured on this earth, the sun turns to a scorchings with a fervent heat. 16 and verse 8. The fifth seal, and then again in the trumpets, there's a woe and a woe and a woe. And so in the warning, the voice of God that gives the warning, the trumpets, notice again that there's still three to come. Trumpet 5, trumpet 6, and trumpet 7. And they're assigned woe, woe, and woe. It means pay attention.